The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Whatever your mountain, climb on. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell. Next 2.5 hours here on ESPN 97.5. Raheel joins us at 9. What's going on? How was your weekend?
Limpy. Limpy and gimpy.
You limped around?
I limped around. Some with the boot, some without the boot. Without the boot takes longer.
Of course it does.
Less cumbersome.
Because you're limpy.
The boot makes you think you feel a lot better than you actually do. The boot works. I know why they wear this walking boot now. It really makes you like...
You're going to just wear it like Ben Roethlisberger now all the time?
I don't know how it works. I might do that, except I hate it, so I might not.
Okay.
This is not... It's not awesome. It's not a lot of fun, but if we got to walk a lot, I wear the boot. I wanted to go to Prime Social and go get a little poker in, but...
I did.
I didn't know if they had room for boots.
Yeah, there's a room. Is there room for boots? There's plenty of room there.
Okay. If there's enough room for boots... Because I'm going this week for the first time. I can't wait.
I pretty much spent my weekend there.
Did you really?
Yeah. I closed it down Saturday. I was there Friday night.
What did Wendy say?
Closed it down Saturday. She was gone for the weekend. So. So all I did was golf.
Of course.
Golf, poker, and then the Rockets game yesterday.
And how does that change when she's in town?
I probably wouldn't have done a lot of that stuff.
Really?
Yeah, I would have spent time with her. But she was out of town, so I did all that stuff.
I feel
stuff.
Like there's a lot of golf still happening, Dell.
Well,
I feel like I hear about a lot of golf working. And Coors Light, even when she's in town.
No, when she works till 7. Daddy doesn't.
Yeah.
Daddy gets off earlier.
Let me see. I think their poker tables open up before 7 also.
Yeah, so. They sure do. The golf courses are open before 7, too.
Yeah.
And Coors Lights are open. And then, too.
There's something to do when it's raining now.
Yeah. No. Right. There is something to do when it's raining. It's a lot of fun. It's a great place. Beautiful place.
I heard you were at Rockets yesterday afternoon.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
How'd that go? Just watching Ryan Anderson carry this team to another championship.
It's what he does. It's what he does.
Clutch City.
How could you have seen any of the game? Every time I looked, you weren't even there.
I was watching it in the Lexus
possession
Lounge.
Possession by possession, you could either see him and his friend or not see him and his friend.
He was seat watching you.
At one point, it became, I don't even care about this game anymore. Is John actually sitting in his seat? Where is he?
Who is your friend? Somebody said something about Gilbert sitting next to you.
No, I saw him, and I don't know if we want to mention his actual friend that was there, but I saw him and a kid who looked like Gilbert's illegitimate son sitting next to him.
Well, it's just a Chinese kid, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had a better seat look than I did.
Yeah.
From my seat at home, it looked like Gilbert's illegitimate kid. Him and Ling Ling's kid.
I don't know that he and Ling Ling had any kids.
I don't know if it would look like
that kid that was next to me. Yeah, that's a little racist, I think. What, all Chinese people look alike to you, Del?
I don't know what Gilbert's kid looks like. And the only Chinese person I know that you know is Gilbert, so I just assume you took his kid to the game.
Carol. You know Carol.
I don't, barely. Yeah. But I know more about Gilbert, and I just assume you took his kid
to the game. No, I didn't take Gilbert's kid to the game.
As a favor, because Gilbert needed a day off.
No. I did not take Gilbert's kid to the game, and I don't think Gilbert has a... I don't think that would be legal for Gilbert to have a kid, if you want to know
the
truth.
Have you seen the people who have children?
Yeah, so I guess. Yeah.
There's a whole movie about it, Idiocracy. All the dummies are having the kids anyway. Right.
That whole thing of, it's such a miracle. Anybody can do it.
it's not that difficult.
And anybody does do it. So it's not really all that much of a miracle, really. Anyway, so the Rockets win last night. I'll tell you what. Watching Devin Booker up close, holy crap.
Well, he's talented, isn't
he? Man, oh man, can that guy play. And I know Jeff Van Gundy always says, somebody's got to score on the bad teams. But this guy's talented. This guy is really, really good.
Yeah, he's for real.
He is for real. Warren ain't too bad either. Mm-hmm. And my favorite, Jared Dudley is my favorite player ever.
Oh, my God. Dudley has gotten so pudge. It's unbelievable watching him. Like, I swear to God, I had to go get the roster. This is not this game. I was watching a different game, a different Suns game, and I was like, who is this magnificent son of a bitch?
Isn't he awesome?
Like, I was like, that can't be Jared Dudley. Yeah. I mean, I knew he had a kind of, and I was like, is Dudley still playing? And I went to the roster, and I'm like, holy crap, that is
Dudley. Did you see him yesterday? Did you see any of the game?
I mean, I'd seen him before.
The headband is the He looks like that dorky guy in the commercials. Remember those commercials where he wore the headband and the wristbands and he was out there D'ing people up on the park?
Dudley looks like a playground player.
He's a rec league guy.
Yeah, not even playground. He looks like a rec league, like somebody out of the Y.
That's what I tweeted. Rec league Dudley is my favorite all time player now.
Yeah, no, he's the older guy playing with the younger guys is what it looks like. Yeah. Yeah.
And he is just wonderful. He really, really is. And your Rockets were able to beat the Suns, which is something that they should always, always do, although they gave him a little bit of problem. Now Chris Paul limping a little bit, and Trevor Ariza looks like he's got it bad with his hamstring. So they'll find out today. That's not a good thing. So there's that. But your Rockets win again, playing some good basketball. That trip to New Orleans notwithstanding.
Yeah.
Yeah. That notwithstanding. So there was that.
They are on a good run right now. If you look over the last, 10 to 12 games, I mean, they got a really good run going. The Rockets now, as it stands, are sitting there. And I don't know how often they've been. I don't know if they've ever been at 35-13 at this stage of the season. 48 games in, they're 35-13. They're 22 over 500. This is, I guess, the only time might have been 93-94. Maybe?
Oh, I don't know. They certainly had the best first half they ever had. I would imagine this is still the best record they've ever had.
I think this has got to be the best record they've ever had to start a season.
What's their most wins? 58? Most ever
they
wins?
They
never had a 60-win season.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I'll look.
No, anyway, this is possibly their greatest season.
Really, really consistent this year. They really are. And then they're one, you know, if you really think about it, they got off to a great start. They have a really good run going right now. There was just the spot in between where they had injuries with the Chris Paul carried over with the James Harden. It was really more James Harden injury. And the team and Clint Capella, they hit a little rough patch. But other than that, it's been pretty solid. I mean, we're talking 13 losses is it. It's really been a consistent team, and it's because they're able to flip a switch. They're able to play better defense this year. You know, I'm not saying they're a lockdown defensive team, but they're clearly a better defensive team than they've been in the past.
And I want to tell you, I think they're more committed to it. I got to sit down low yesterday with my buddy's seats, and I will say this. I don't think I've ever seen Mike D'Antoni as mad as he was on one possession. The Rockets were up 14 or so, and on the defensive end, they just let somebody go in and boy, can I tell you, he was so pissed. He was storming. He was steaming mad. And, you know, obviously he got over it. But I really think that this year, and you're right, they can and are playing better defense. I think Trevor Ariza would be nice if he was able to stay healthy, because he's playing much better ball. And P.J. Tucker adds to that too. But I think that there is more of a care than there's been in the last couple of years defensively. And I think D'Antoni is making more of a commitment to it because of just by how pissed he was at that one possession. You know, and they're still up 14. Now, you know, they made it a little bit of a game at the end, but the Rockets were able to pull away at the very end. You know, all those possessions, but this was the Suns. Let's not forget that this was the Suns. And it's not a team that you're going to be facing in the postseason. Mm-hmm. They need to keep that defensive intensity all the time. I love PJ Tucker, man.
He just gives you something you need. He is. You get back some of the same. He's a better version. He's a more versatile version than Chuck Hayes, because Chuck gave you some stuff that you don't usually get from players, but it was in a package that was smaller, like he couldn't jump, but he just did things for you that really filled in a lot of gaps. PJ Tucker does some of that same thing. He's a tough guy. He'll rebound. He'll defend. He can step out and shoot threes. Like, you know, there's a lot of value in Mbamute and Tucker. They've got a highly efficient and functional bench this year.
Well, and Tucker on the defensive end, he's covering Booker or Warren, and on the offensive end, Tyson Chandler has him. So I mean, it's like,
well, you kind of throw one of your guys over there, like, just guard Tucker. You
don't have to stand outside. Well, he does stand outside. No, Tucker will knock down a three for you too.
He will. He's not the most dangerous shooter, but he will. You know, I'm looking at this, John. So with Akeem Olajuwon, now there was a little Now, the Western Conference at times was a little tougher and a little deeper, like Spurs. The year the Rockets won a second championship, they had to beat 361 teams, I think, if I remember correctly. But you look at the Rockets, they won 47 games that year. But since Dream was a Houston Rocket, his best seasons were they had a 51, a 52, a 55, a 58, a 57, and that's it. He had 450-win seasons. Just over James Harden, since Harden took over with the Rockets, they've had a 45, a 54, a 56, a 41, a 55. And this year, they're on pace for right at about a 60. This is what makes me a little frustrated about the Daryl Morey stuff when you think negative stuff. I get where they have gone in the playoffs and where they haven't and stuff. But for me, a GM's job, I just think there's a clear division of labor. GMs put together rosters. Coaches try to get the most. They try to put their players in position to succeed and get the most out of those players. And then players have to execute and do. Like, so many times people don't ever put anything on players, or they put everything on players.
Well, I don't think that's the case here. I think that we saw last year and what happened at the end with the San Antonio Game 6. That was squarely on James. I think that, you know, I don't know who else you could possibly blame for that. But this is their best team since the Akeem days.
I mean, four of the last 5 years, they're going to win 54 games or more. They've been a one seed, a two seed, a four seed. I mean, not a one seed.
Well, but here's what we need. We need them to grow some nuts like the Astros is what we need. We need them to say, I don't care that you're the Warriors. I don't care that you're a San Antonio. I don't. You know what? We're gonna play, and we ain't scared. And we're gonna crush you. And we're gonna make baskets when we have to, and we're gonna get stops when we have to, as mm-hmm. opposed to what they've done in the postseason.
Yeah, yeah.
I think, and as soon as that happens, then you know what? Everybody's gonna jump on board. It was a 2:30 Sunday game, wasn't that?
It was a little strange at the start time. Yeah, I missed like the first part of it because I was, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah. It was a bit strange,
and
it wasn't all that crowded in there. But it's a 2:30 Sunday game against the Sun, so certainly can excuse that. This is a great basketball team, and it is a lot of fun. I just don't, I'm not a big fan of James sitting outside and dribbling between his legs, and then whatever he does sometimes with it. But when they're moving the ball, it is a fun basketball team. A fun basketball team. It's just that standing there and the Steven Coutinho, some of that
difference
stuff.
Is he makes a lot of them. Steven Coutinho would literally, Steve would literally jump in the air and then throw it behind him for a turnover as the shot clock went off.
Or James.
Or they would take a shot clock violation. Yeah, the other thing
James a lot of times will, you know, dribble right into somebody's feet.
I mean, he'll do that some too, he is leading the league in scoring.
No,
like,
right?
He's not
no,
a total
no, no.
Slappy.
He's a really good player. There's no question about that. I just that whole thing though, him standing outside. I love when they're moving the. It's a fun when they're moving the ball and everybody's involved. I think it's as fun as it gets. It's just that standing there thing that gets me sometimes. All right, 713-780-3776. A lot of stuff to do, man. We got to get to the Pro Bowl. That was
What
did anybody watch a second of it? Did you watch a second of it? Though?
No.
Not a second.
I mean, it was on. I had it on ESPN, I guess, whatever the station was. And I thought to myself, what's going to go on here? And then I realized these guys are actually just holding guys up. Hey, you're going to run full half speed if you'd like, but we're not going to take you to the ground, no matter what you, no matter how fast you run. I was like, okay, I'm out.
Yeah, we're not going to actually tackle them. You mean
we're going to thump you and then hold you? And the toughest job I would imagine was the officials, because they didn't know when forward progress really ended and began. Because guys would hold them, they would blow the whistle, and the guy would keep running. And guys would look at him like, "What are you doing? You're not supposed to keep like the fullback got a carry once, and Paul, the guy from San Francisco, whatever his name is, he got a carry, and they held him, and then he kept going. They're like, "What are you doing,
dude?"
He got like 4 extra yards, and the official actually marked him back where they stopped him the first time.
This is two-hand touch.
Yeah,
stop doing that.
What are you doing?
All right, 713 ESPN 97.5. Talk about this surf. Hey, are we going there? What's that all about?
We'll find out. The good people of Angleton will be out there to come see us. I know this much. The good people of Angleton are going into Gulf Coast Buick Chevy GMC on a regular basis. And he's turned that location there in Angleton into one of the top sellers. And it's not a surprise. And here's why. How do you sell a lot of cars and trucks and SUVs? Well, the bottom line is you have to have a good product. But the other thing is you really have to go above and beyond what the other guys are doing because you're selling the same product. Well, he understands that price is going to be extremely important to you. Service is going to be important for a lot of people, but price is going to be important to everyone. So I know some of you may say, oh, drive out to Angleton. Angleton is about 40 minutes from downtown Houston. 40 minutes. Okay. Actually, a little less from downtown, but that's like taking a trip from my house out to Kingwood. Would I make that trip if I could say $2,500, $3,200 on a car or truck? Absolutely. That's what we're talking about here. Craig DeSerf and the Killer D's out there will not mess around when it comes to price. They want to take care of you. If you make the trip out to Angleton, they will hook you up. They've got the colors, the selection, the interior, the exterior. And, you know, a lot of them come standard with amazing packages now. So whether you're getting the GMC Sierra pickup truck or the awesome Texas edition, you're getting vehicles that are just absolutely off the charts. And right now, as a matter of fact, they've got a great one. Right now, till the end of January, you can get $11,000 off MSRP on all new 2018 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab Texas Edition with GM Financial Financing. This is a great opportunity for pickup trucks, SUVs, crossovers, and of course, some cars as well on the Chevy side. You cannot miss out on Gulf Coast, Chevy, Buick, GMC. Go to my website. Well, it's their website, just with my name, Lance Z Cars, to check out their entire selection.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 719 ESPN 97.5. John, Lance, and Dell. 713-780-3776 to hang with us here. If you'd like to get in, you're more than welcome to do that. 713-780-3776. Rockets with the win yesterday. Chris Paul maybe limping a little bit, but Trevor Ariza looks like he's got something more serious going on there. You know what else is serious going on is what's going on at Michigan State. Tom Izzo was accosted pretty much by an outside the line. Now, outside the line.
Was it Jeremy Schapp?
No. Oh. It was some female. I don't know her name. Del, do you know her name? I'm not going to call her baby because that
no.
You can't. Do not call her baby.
It'll say something like some broad from outside the line.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I've never seen her before. But Outside the Lines did the big expose over the weekend that came out with all of the attention, a lot of attention on the basketball program with an assistant coach and former player who allegedly punched a girl in the face and then more sexual assault, actually rape, and one of the players admitted to the rape. And now Mark Emmert is in the middle of it. Apparently, in 2010, he was told about 37 incidents at Michigan State, and he did.
Mark Emmert is the big dog.
Mark Emmert is the big dog.
Yeah.
And he is squarely in it now. 37, he was told, and there's proof that he was told and knew about it and did absolutely nothing about it.
You know, this is a strange thing. Okay, I'm going to ask you both the question. Who was responsible for, who are the big guy responsible for the cover up at Baylor? Name somebody who's responsible for the cover up at Baylor.
Well, Art.
Okay.
Yes.
Now name two players out of all those players. Name two players.
The kid that came from Boise. I can't pronounce his name. He was squarely in it. Mm-hmm. Two players that and actually I think he's doing prison time right now.
Who else?
Another player. I really can't remember.
All these players, how come we don't know the player? Do we just assume players are supposed to just rape and pillage? Is that just the assumption?
No.
Here's what should happen.
I think we assume they shouldn't.
Here's what should happen. you're going to deter actions, you need to make players and coaches accountable, both across the board. So players know I will get put not only on blast, but I could do some jail time like regular people would for mm-hmm. these incidents. And coaches have to be treated as such. This has to be a full scale. We can't just assume players like, oh, those players are supposed to do that. They're just animals. Like, what are people doing? Or we're just supposed to protect the player. The players have got to be put front and center who do this, and the coaches who protect them have to be put front and center across the board. There can't be a division like, well, the players just don't know any better. No, the players know better. This raping is not is something that's okay in any society. It's not okay. Sexual assault is not okay in any society. Covering up these incidents is not okay in any society. Being told that something's going on and not, and when you're the last line of defense mm-hmm. and you don't do anything about it, that should be treated in, you're right, that should be treated extremely harshly. And everybody involved with that should get the same punishments that happened, whatever happened at Baylor or worse, if you think they missed at Baylor, it should be dealt with like that. I mean, maybe stronger than Baylor, because it's always amazing. We don't know any of the I don't remember any of the Baylor players. Who did this at Michigan State? Do we know any of the players?
The names are coming out now. Yeah. I mean, they're just coming
out. They should come out.
But
you got to deter players as well as staff members. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, absolutely. No, it's probably worse because you are, if Tom Izzo is guilty of just turning a blind eye and keeping this the coach on staff and his players on staff and not wanting anything to be done about it because they don't want to taint the program,
Izzo
then you are creating an atmosphere where this is acceptable.
Yep. One of the players was Adrian Payne.
Yeah, Adrian Payne was.
He in his interview, what they showed on Outside the Lines, he was the guy who said, I forgot the other kid's name. He said that he had consensual sex, but the other guy was told, the woman told him, I'm done here, and he kept continuing, his teammate. So Adrian Payne was waived by the Magic. I think it was probably their G League. And Travis Walton, the former player and coach for Michigan State, was coaching with the Clippers, I think. Mm-hmm. I think they've put him on, leave.
Yeah,
man, it's just unbelievable. This stuff is going on so rampant, and maybe this is all part of the Me Too movement that will get rid of some of that. I mean, you know, it happened before Hollywood came out with this with Harvey Weinstein, obviously with Baylor. Remember how Baylor just kept stacking up? Like, when you thought it was as bad as it could get, new stuff came out, and I'm not even sure we heard all of it at Baylor. And now we're hearing another.
We're going to hear a lot more.
I'm like Tom Izzo, dude. Bro. The Izzo's mad respected around sports. Crazy respected. And if he covered up, he's going to be done too. You're not going to get out of this unscathed if you covered stuff up.
Do you have the sound from the press conference yesterday?
Yeah. And Izzo was asked questions, and the question he was asked about Travis Walton, he was like,
He really was bad. Here's some of what he had after the Maryland win yesterday.
We want to give you every opportunity to answer questions. There's a lot of questions. A big one is, why did Travis leave the program in 2010?
I don't know what you mean. He graduated.
Oh my God.
He was with your staff throughout 2010. An allegation came forward later that year that from a woman and her family to the athletic department that he and two of your players raped her. He then left the program later that year in 2010. Why?
To be honest with you, I don't remember why he left. I know he went to Europe to play, and as you know, I'll still say I'll cooperate with any investigation that's made. I did it then, I did it before, and I'm not going to answer any questions that aren't pertaining to either basketball or things that I am not going to talk about right now.
Let me ask you this question then. Looking back at the way sexual assault allegations have been handled by your basketball program, do you have any regrets?
I've cooperated with every investigation, every one. And I will continue to cooperate with every investigation, every one.
Pause for the is right there. You could hear him I know that this, he didn't screw up. He answered it. He realized, he thought, and you could hear him in his head just thinking, if I answer this incorrectly, I could, this will end me. He's like, oh, I have, and he actually did what he probably should have done, but from an answer, you know, from what a lawyer would tell him to do, but for him to get up there and get caught up like that, you could, you want to talk about deer in the headlights. Wow.
He's going to be accosted over the next, there won't be any, his basketball. Now his basketball team was able to win. You know, he wanted to talk about that immediately after the game. The announcer, they had him on the court and he was asked questions about it. And he was just like, man, can we just talk about the game? And I feel for all the people that went through all of this, but I can we talk about the game? And the answer is no. The answer is no. Tom Izzo, you can't talk about basketball anymore. The media will not allow it until there is a pound of flesh here.
You know,
and it's going to be his and maybe Mark D'Antoni's too.
Do you know that D'Antonio. If this were happening in Alabama, that they would just stick to the script?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, all right, I'm going to talk about football and that's it. Okay. What did you think about J.K. Scott's punt in the second quarter? Even the outside lines reporter. I have a question about, hey, you're going to ask, you know, one of your questions. All right. We've discussed it. I've gone over that and I'm not going to do this again. Okay. Okay.
Hey, coach, can you talk about you doing the Cupid shuffle for that recruit? Because,
hey, I've been doing Cupid shuffle. All right. For years. I've been doing Cupid. I didn't learn this. Okay. I've been doing this since I was, since before Michigan State. Okay. Cupid shuffle is not a problem for me.
People think I'm joking. That's a real thing.
No, it is a real thing. In a looked like somebody's
living
home.
Room. Yeah, it was a recruit's
like a living room.
It was a recruit's living room.
But it was a party, right?
Well, when coach comes over, it's always a party.
Well, yeah, I got. Well, did you have the whole neighborhood over for coach to come?
And Nick Saban showing up. He's the celebrity in Alabama.
He absolutely is.
And you could tell somebody's taping it from a lower angle. He's trying to be sly. At one point, Nick Saban looks into the camera. But he can't say anything because it's a kid. He can't say, hey, turn that camera off. Like, you can't say that. You're recruiting a kid, so you just got to keep rolling with it.
Here's the problem I have. The kid's only a 3-star.
That was my thought.
What's he doing?
Recruiting must not be going that well.
No. Shuffling around for a 3-star, man. That just means Nick Saban thinks the stars are wrong on that kid.
Probably.
That's what that thing's like. Hey, these guys call you a 3-star. Hey. You know, he knows. Like, Nick Saban knows how to find talent.
Yep.
Levi Wallace was a flag football player. Yep. He'll be playing under pros this year. Yep. I'm not too worried about Nick finding talent.
No, he knows talent. That's for sure.
If Nick's in your living room doing a Cupid shuffle on tape,
you're a good player.
You're probably a good player.
Yep. Yep. You got that star. He just got another star, probably. Yeah.
Probably. I think Alabama got in late on him, so he's probably going to get another star.
Oh, yeah, he's going to four. He's going to four.
All right. Time to talk a little Trevor Little Frame right now. Look, 82-22, I-45 North. That's the Canino. Well, it's the Gulf Bank because Lance wants to make sure everybody knows.
Yeah.
It's not just the Canino exit.
Yeah, Gulf Bank, too.
Gulf Bank, too. Why is Gulf Bank not get the love for Trailer Will and Frank?
Never have. For years they
haven't. They haven't. No. And now we got to give them some love. You know what? That's on me. That's my bad. What you need to do is get over there and enjoy the greatness that is Trailer Will. When you walk in, you see all those toolboxes that they make themselves, their Mateco toolboxes. And, oh, yeah, the Ranch King. Yeah, they manufacture those as well, those trailers, gooseneck or whatever kind of trailer that you could possibly need. And here's the thing, again, about this. They manufacture it, so you get it at a better price. If you think you're going to go to the dealership and get a better price for anything that you want for your pickup truck, that's just silly because they're going to just jack it up as much as they possibly can when Trailer Will and Frame is the manufacturer and they're selling it to you as well. So all you got to do is get there and see for yourself. Go to trailerwill.com and see everything that they've got. They've got service bays dedicated solely to pickups now. Just get there at 8222 I-45 North, the Canino exit. It's Trailer Will and Frame.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here, KJ wants to talk about this Michigan State stuff. Let's bring him up. Hey, KJ.
Good morning, fellas.
Hey, what's up, KJ?
You got it. Lance, glad you are back safely and healthy. We assume as far as it's not funny we're here to make fun of the sick, man. It's going to come back, and karma going to come back and get him.
No, I agree.
That wasn't funny.
I agree.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But let me get on this Michigan State, which I agree with you 100% that, and to me, it's worse. That, I mean, do you know what I'm saying? The cover up is always worse than the crime. What I don't understand, and what I never will understand, is why people like Browse, people like Paterno, people like Izzo, you have a legacy behind you. Why would you let 18 to 22-year-olds ruin that? Because now Michigan State, Penn State, Baylor looks 100% worse than they would ever look if you attack this when it occurred. Because this is a reflection of them when it happens. It's not a reflection of the coach. You recruit a kid, okay, when he's in high school, and I don't call them kids in college because you're 18, you can go to war, die, you're not a kid. You're an adult, you're a young adult, but you're an adult. But they recruit the kids in high school. When they get to college, you're a young adult making your own decisions, and if you make a decision to do something of this nature, then you go down by yourself. I'm not going down with you. And it makes your program look better, and like you said, it's going to detour people from thinking they can get away with it. Guess what they have jailhouses all over this world for? For people who took it and they don't let you come out. It's to detour you from doing stuff that's illegal or that's harmful to others. So why would I cover it up when it's not me doing it?
Well, here's why. It's because they don't want their program to be... Okay, so you got sexual assault by one or more of your players. First of all, is that somebody that you is that where you want to send your kid? Because that's the type of player that you have there. Secondly, they want to keep those kids eligible so that they can continue to play and win basketball games. Is he risking everything? Yeah, by doing that. But this is nothing new. I mean, we saw. Look at the Penn State cover up, the Baylor cover up, now this cover up. They just want to. And it's not only that, KJ. Harvard, go watch the documentary The Hunting Ground. Go watch and see it's university after university after university that don't want sexual assault on their records, so they cover it up. They victim shame. They try to get them to not prosecute because they don't want it on their record. Oh, Harvard is a bad place to go to send your daughter. They don't want that. So this is why they cover this up, to protect themselves.
No, I understand that part of it, but now you have a daughter, you have two daughters, Lance has a daughter, I have a daughter. There's no way in hell they couldn't pay me money to send my child to either one of those schools, because when I send my child to your school, I don't want to feel like, well, maybe if something happened to her, it's going to be covered up because you worried about a basketball game off, and I understand exactly what you're saying of why, but to me, as to think logical, and maybe that's wrong with me to think logically and they not, is that you look better, because to me it looks better when you attacking these monsters when they do this, and I say, hey, well, if my child go there, I know that they're not going to allow people to sexually assault her or physically abuse her if she's there because she's there on the basketball team. And this, I got to hit this one point right quick, which again, I'm thinking logically. The young lady the first young lady they focused on, they said she got to school on August 27th, and she went to those guys' room on August 28th. At 18 years old, this girl didn't play sports. She just happened to live in the same dorm, I assume, or whatever that she ran across them. You can't convince a person to do what they did at 18 But after one day, I'm sorry. That's the part that I don't believe. And Adrian Payne, he gave it away. And the sad part is that the other guy was Applin, Dale, which I'm sure Dale already looked up. His name was Applin. I remember him there, too. Guess why he couldn't answer any questions. Well, he answered them, but guess why he wasn't on camera? Because he's in jail on a gun charge. Mm-hmm. So this is the reason that Izzo is going down and D'Antonio is going down, because it's not that they helped cover it up, but they knew. That's why the other two people, the president and the AD, have already resigned. I hate to see it for Izzo, but I'm fresh out of sympathy for these guys. Worried more about winning a basketball game off of players who do not get paid anyway, than to protect the women of all these universities. Y'all have a great day.
I appreciate it.
All right, 740 ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, I mean, all I say to that is, once you ask why you would do that, why you risk all that, I think what happens is, after the first cover-up and after the first decision you make, you come to an early fork in the road at some point in their career, and they either go the right way or the wrong way. And if they go the wrong way, then it becomes, well, we don't want this to come back and get us. And then it turns into, yeah, it just rolls downhill, because you realize, crap, you know, we got to keep things quiet. I don't know how many cover-ups there were and all that stuff, but once you do it, I think you start worrying about things coming back to get you, and you keep making bad decisions. That's all I can guess. Is that once it happens once, it kind of spiders out of control, I guess.
Yeah. 713-780-3776. It's just, I'm after Baylor and after Penn State, how much did we talk about, you know, Penn State and all of that crap going on? And now this, I mean, it is, although I will say this, I mean, 2010, which is crazy to think. Well, back then in 2010, you know, I guess heightened sexual assault really wasn't. Now, any impropriety, and it's a good thing, after with this Me Too movement, mm-hmm, any impropriety now, you have to act immediately. Look, the NFL Network acted immediately when there was just accusations, and now they're saying, well, maybe the accusations aren't all that.
You can act, and you can act. You don't have to every accusation, you shut everything down and you fire everybody. You don't do that. There's due process. You just follow the letter of the law. If there's something that needs to be, clearly that needed to be, the NFL needed to be looked at. They needed to look at that stuff. They came out, they did their investigation. They said they believed that, you know, this was a situation with Jamie Cantor or whatever, where the report came out that they believed there was some consensual stuff going on or whatever. But you go handle your investigations. And if you find something, if you're a university, you can't cover it up. I mean, Penn State had way too many cover-ups. Penn State was one of the all-time worst, followed right there closely by Baylor. And I don't know where this Michigan State thing is going to land, but it's not, you know, it's always going to come back to get you in college. Now, you can't think you're just going to get away with it. And there are universities where they've done this, where they know, when's it going to be us? Because it's just a matter of time. Mm-hmm. Because now people are going to start coming out. People who have been silent are going to come out, and we're going to do it. That's the next thing to pop, is university cover-ups for sexual assaults.
Well, it's already.
Yeah, I mean, we're already seeing it.
We're already seeing it. Yeah, we're seeing it. And who's going to catch it worse? Are the sports programs. Because we've created an atmosphere where these athletes have just been coddled and protected and sheltered from actually living up to their responsibilities after they do this crap. It's got to end. It's got to stop now. All right, 743 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. We're going to get in.
Sports is ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, back here. And we're in Houston, by the way. Not doing the Super Bowl thing this weekend, which I'm glad. It's the same thing every year. And it's freezing cold. And I know everybody's going to be complaining about the freezing cold. And somebody's already wrote the article. Let's not complain about the weather in Minnesota. It's cold. We know that it's cold. And stop, media members who complain about everything. This one is so uninteresting if you want to know the truth. But
what's your favorite Super Bowl you've been to? How many have you been to? I was at New Orleans. You were there. You've been to more than I have. I was at Houston here.
I was Houston in Minnesota here. The last time it was there.
When was that?
Redskins, Bills, Mark Rippon.
Oh, it was before you worked in Houston.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I went to see Montana, Joe Montana and Denver play in New Orleans.
Did you go to, I was here. Did you go to Dallas?
I didn't go to Dallas.
Yeah, I was here. We were doing that in studio. Yeah. Good move.
Yeah, that was freezing ice, remember?
Yeah, everyone, it was a total nightmare. I think we sent Johnny and Sean or somebody else. I remember there was some bad. Maybe we didn't go at all. Maybe it's another station. We can't do our show because we got locked out. We're iced out of the stadium. Well,
that's what you get for going to Dallas.
Well,
that's you deserve what you get. I've been to New Orleans for another Super Bowl.
2 years ago?
New York. Huh?
Did you go to San Francisco 2 years ago?
I did.
How was that?
It was nice. It was good. It's hard to get around.
New York was New York. I had a blast in New York, but it got a little chilly.
It was cold.
Days.
That was also difficult. Phoenix was really difficult to get around because it was downtown, and they put us and we were staying in Tempe, so that was a little bit tougher.
But I don't think the listeners get anything.
They
out
don't
of
care.
It. Honestly, we don't like. We've never at none of the stations I've had have we had people who are really good at getting guests. So it's always like, hey guys. You guys want to get on, and it's somebody random from the Steelers from like 74. Yeah.
And he's selling some prostate cream.
It's always prostate this or that. Like, I don't know. Do we really? Like when I was in New York, we were at the very back of the room.
I remember where you were.
At the very back of the room,
at a little table.
And then somebody would straggle over like, hey guys, we got somebody who do you got? Like, we got professional wrestler, you know, some professional wrestler. Like, what does that have to do with the Super Bowl? Nothing.
Nothing. I don't miss it. I don't know. Maybe you guys do. I don't know. You're going to listen to the other station because they're going to you. That's fine.
Nah, the interviews, that's the thing. The interviews are usually pretty lame. Now, Bill Romanowski doesn't give bad interviews.
No. Ike Taylor didn't.
No, Ike's good. Bill Romanowski won't.
Tebow was really good last year.
Yeah, see, we didn't get Tebow. The setup was a little better. You had a big time looking setup, so you had, I think, better guests came in. But it also helps to have, here's what you need. Somebody who's a really on the ball producer, who's got a great contact list, who you have to do this months in advance, set this stuff up. Or a super hot girl is the other thing that can randomly pull in a guy that wasn't.
Well, that's how we found Robin, you know. She was in Denver. She was there. She was the producer who hunted down interviews for Denver's radio
station. What a shot, because you know what? Peter Burns, I was hanging out with Peter Burns. He was doing a Denver, now they were also in the Super Bowl there, but Peter Burns was doing Denver radio, a two-hour show, and Peter had Jane Slater, who's with the NFL Network now and also was on Longhorn Network, good-looking blonde girl, and he had another one too, like a brunette who I don't know who that was, and they would, Jane Slater went, oh, Eli, can we get you Eli Manning? He goes,
sure,
yes.
You can.
I think so, I assume he's not smart.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so we ask, can we get Eli? Oh, he's got a very tight schedule here. Jane Slater, can we get him? Yes, you can.
That's funny that you said 22, 3 years ago now, Rockets winning the one at home, game six, I believe it was, against the Knicks. And Akeem is walking out of the locker room, and Wendy, my wife, grabs him and says, "Akeem, can you come here for a minute?" And we were on Channel 51, which was, you know, we had three viewers, and she brought Akeem over, and Akeem's all of a sudden, I'm standing next to the Dream, and I go, "Oh my God, look who's joining us, the Dream!" And every other station couldn't have been more pissed off because the Dream came over to us. And so then it was Tim Frank.
Media relations.
He goes, thanks. Wendy, now he's got to go to every one of these because, you know, just 13 and Berman and everybody else was all pissed off. So he had to go. But a girl can do anything.
Yeah. What I've noticed is just slappy guys who are just like, hey, do you think we could get this guy? Nope. They'll just tell you no all day long. Like, no. Why are we even here? Why are we at this dumb Super Bowl? Like in New York, I didn't care because it was New York. You know, you got to hang out in New York. But at, can you imagine a Minneapolis having no guests and being in Minneapolis? Just like, man, this sucks.
Well, a big edge for us was that we had a national.
Yeah.
When here again, Sean, you know, Salisbury, and he knows everybody.
Right.
And everybody knows him, and they've had drinks together at some point. It doesn't matter who it is. They've had drinks with Sean Salisbury. So that was the best. That was the easiest. We had so many guests. But I don't even know that the listener likes it. I'm not sure.
I found
because
that
half
they don't.
The interview is what do you think of the game, and then the other half is what are you selling.
I found that and they don't. They definitely don't care about what they're selling. That's the only reason they'll come on your show is to sell something. I found that people typically don't care for Super Bowl guests. Yeah. Most of them aren't good. Some of them are good.
Why don't we just have you doing voices?
Yeah, I can
this
just
week
pretend to
we
be
can
guests.
Pretend we're at the Super Bowl. And you can do, like, we could get Philip Rivers with his thoughts on the Super Bowl. We can do that. We could get, what about your draft, Nick? What's his name? Who used to call your show, and he's a draft, he's kind
Bernie
of,
the Wolf?
Bernie the Wolf.
Yeah, Bernie is.
Bernie ought to call in this
from the
week.
Jacksonville area.
I'm sure he's going to be doing Radio Row.
I'm sure he'll be doing Super Bowl
from
his trailer.
Well, he's not going to be able to get up there, but I'm sure he's going to have Bernie a long
the Wolf
list of people.
Does sound a little bit like Wade Phillips in a really creepy way. Like, wow, that is like crying Wade Phillips in some ways. The game, I mean, can you imagine if Tom Brady and Bill Belichick get beat by a backup quarterback? But it's kind of Tom Brady was a backup quarterback when he won his first championship. But I don't get the same Tom Brady vibe off of Foles.
Nick Foles?
No. Yeah.
Or Nick Folk or whatever his name is. Mm-hmm. Jerry Jones can't even remember his name.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to a show last night, and they're talking, well, I think, you know, Gronk is going to play, but you really got to watch for Danny Amendola, okay? Oh, well, thanks for that. Here's the thing, is if Amendola was the star last week, the chances are great that he's not going to be the star of this one. Mm. I'm gonna go with James White is going to have the big. And James White has been a forgotten man.
Star might have been Brandon Cooks drawing two penalties worth almost 80 yards of.
That was
the
star.
He's a star. He gained 70 some odd yards for you in penalties.
Yeah, but Amendola, had the touchdowns, and you know now because they're going to now we have to game plan for Danny Amendola. You know who's going to do it is James White.
Yeah, James White has scored. What is it? Seven of the last 9 or 10 touchdowns over there. He was first to score a touchdown again, which I know somebody who had first to score for the Patriots, James White, and it was plus 800.
Well,
that guy doesn't score touchdowns for them.
How the hell did that happen?
But, you know, so the chances of Gronk not playing, like, if Gronk doesn't play in a Super Bowl, you know the concussion protocol is a real thing.
It's not real.
Then you know it's real because
there's nothing real about it.
But you don't think, like, if Gronk doesn't play in
now
a Super
Bowl?
Now,
he's already doing some team activity
he's
stuff.
He's definitely going to play.
There is no chance he doesn't play. A head injury. Like, anybody can diagnose a head injury with Gronk. I mean, that's impossible.
It's the same thing. It's the same Gronk. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. He seems the same. What are you guys seeing with Gronk? I mean, he can't answer questions like he couldn't before.
Right. He just keeps saying 69.
What's his baseline? Yeah. What's your favorite number? Same as always, 69. Like, oh, yeah, he's fine.
He's fine. Get
roll
back
him in there. What's the worst that's going to happen?
Yeah.
Just roll him in.
Yeah. Oh, here's Super Bowl radio model. What do you think about the Texans? Give me your Super Bowl prediction. Pitch your dumb product. Producer, put this crappy interview on our website. That's it. That is. Yeah, sounds, I know a lot of people think Radio Row is just terrible.
Sounds like the formula.
Like JD here. He thinks it's
terrible. Oh, I guarantee
terrible.
You. Most, like most fans here. Don't like it. Dell, you don't like it. I don't like it.
Cade says the worst week in radio. And well, we're not going, Cade. So all you have to do now is just listen to us. And we'll have Bernie the Wolf.
Hey, you know what, guys? I know you've been listening to us all year long. You enjoy the show. You love how the show goes. You know what we're going to do for an entire week? We're going to do something that we never do.
Right.
We're going to change the entire show for a week and expect you to enjoy it. I've never understood that.
But you do get a Roger Staubach every once in a while.
Yeah, you get the Roger Staubach at like 8:15, and then that last, they got to last you for the next 4 days. You're remembering Roger Staubach.
Right.
And you know who that was great for? You.
Right.
Raheel was sitting wasn't great for Raheel. No. He was sitting here. He didn't get to meet Roger Staubach. I didn't get to meet Roger Staubach.
Right.
You got to meet Roger Staubach.
Yeah, but that's
the
thing.
All I care about me.
I know. You're selfish. I got you.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing to me is that when somebody's on location, just let them handle most of the interview. Too tricky. Like, I was here the first year I was over at the other station. It was Matt and Adam were interviewing Chrissy Teigen. And I was there, but I wanted to, this is before Chrissy became so chatty. Like, she's a little, Dell, are you a fan of Chrissy Teigen?
I mean, I don't follow her, so I don't get all the stuff that other people get.
But you know all about her, though.
I'm aware of her. I mean, I don't dislike her. Let the woman talk. I don't care.
Yeah, this was in like 2012.
She was just a model, and she didn't have any words.
She was just kind of, well, no,
she didn't use her words.
She didn't speak.
She was a little more clever. Like,
Be pretty and shut up.
No, it wasn't like that. It was
this broad's name?
Yeah. Chrissy, stop talking.
It was before you knew all about, like, she would do some food stuff. Like, she was new on the scene.
She made sandwiches?
No, she's a for real, like, food person. And she was just going out with John Legend, or were they
just
engaged?
Before they got married, yeah.
Yeah, but she was really interesting to talk to. She was a good guest. She's highly opinionated about a lot of stuff. But then, you know, it's just a little bit of oversaturation. You see her on everything now. Everything.
Yeah. 713-780-3776. You want to get in here? You're more than welcome. Let's talk a little Absolute Marble and Granite right now. That's my guy, Jeff Aronoff. He's everywhere, too. He's actually been working his ass off. You know what? Which is very surprising for him. Usually you can find him at the casino. But here's the deal is you can also find him now at your home trying to fix up whatever it is that you have to do. How about...
Hold on, you have to give him permission. You don't just find him at your home when you get home. I'm like, what are you doing here?
No.
Like,
you call him
permission.
And invite him.
All right,
and yeah.
Okay.
And you guys set up the appointment,
just sure
and
just
he comes
show
over.
Up.
Hey, what are you coming to do your bathroom for?
Hey,
it's my
doing
bathroom.
Here?
Yeah, it's my bathroom. That's what I'm doing here. Well, but he could be in your bathroom looking at your vanity and changing that, or he could also be in, you know, what he can do all kinds of stuff for you, including an outdoor patio. How about your outdoor patio sucks? Okay. So how about Jeff Aronoff fixes it? How about he makes it great? Why don't you make your patio great again? And that's what Jeff Aronoff does every single day. Yes, he does, Del. Yes, he does.
Well, I'm not shaking my head at that. I'm shaking my head at make my patio great again.
Make my patio great again. That's right. He does. He makes your patio great again because that's what he does every single day. You want an outdoor kitchen? Jeff Aronoff can do it. New countertops? He can do it. New marble, granite, whatever it is, he can do it. At 20% off because you're a 97.5 listener. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city.